our subject is faith. This is our second week in the Epistle to the Hebrews. And faith is the primary key. And I'm gonna keep our young folk here because we're not just going to talk to you about, I'm not going to just talk to you about faith. I'm going to show you or let you practice what faith really is. And hopefully it makes a connection for you in your mind, but also in your heart. So we're doing two exercises today and one real act of faith. You all know what I'm talking about here as things progress. But there are two very important verses in Hebrews, in the passage we just read, about faith. And the first is this. In verse 1 it says, faith is the confidence that we hope, that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So there's two factors here, one in green, one in blue, is that we have a hope for what will actually happen. And the second is something about not being able to see it. They live not by sight, but by faith. So, what we're going to explore is what we believe in regard to whether or not we are saved or not. That's the foundational thing that we're asked to believe in the Christian life. That if we ask for forgiveness, that Jesus, through the cross, has offered us, He will indeed, truly forgive us. And that we have access and relationship to the triune God when we simply ask for it. By grace we are saved through faith. And so we're going to illustrate this. I'm going to need six volunteers, hopefully strong folk, because we're going to actually practice faith. So can I get six volunteers? Yeah? Yes, Bill. Yes, one. Well, Jen's a little bit small. We'll need something. Ready? Evan, you want to help us out? Edmund, can you help us?
Sure.
And Norman, would you like to? And Fred? Is that enough? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes. Oh, Tony can too? Yeah. All right. That'll be fine. So come on up. I'm going to ask you fellows to come on up. And we're going to do this. Okay, if you guys can just stand over here. Three of you on this side, and three of you on this side, and now we have seven. One at the very end. That'd be great. So side by side, like this. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to grab each other's arms. You don't have to cross them, just across like this, and grip each other's arms. So you need to be grabbing your arms. There you go. So Tony, turn your hands inward, down and then grab, yes. And then there we go. All right. I'm going to ask you to get down a little bit lower. There you go. That's good. Yes, crouch a little bit. And we get to practice faith. Remember, what is faith? According to this passage, it's something that you hope will happen. Right? It's only hope will happen. And it is also then something you do not see. So what it is that you have to do this blind. In the sense that I am going to do this with a hope that what I hope will happen will happen. Number two is I'm not going to see whether, well, it's going to happen right or not. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to fall backwards. So actually, get whatever your outfit is going like. I'm just going to trust that these guys know what they're doing. Don't let go. Make sure you grip each other's arms really tight. Okay, that's enough instruction. Because I'm going to fall backwards into their arms and trust these people. Are you guys ready?
Well,
I wish you didn't say no. No, we didn't sign up for this. So I'll let you guys count. Okay, on the count of three, I'm going to kind of leap backwards. Okay, ready? Okay, who wants to start counting? Okay, go ahead.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, you guys can lower me in this one. have for you is this. Do you trust them? So what I'm offering you is this. If you want to practice faith, I'm going to invite you to come and do exactly what I just did. You all have the opportunity to do it. So just line up right here. And the main thing I want to ask you to do is when you do this, you say simply these words. I trust you. Because one thing to say that you trust these folk, something that you want to happen, something you assume that you want to have actually happen, something that's promised, actually happens. I don't know if you believe in miracles. Because if you don't, I don't know if you have a place in the Christian faith. One of the greatest miracles there is that your sins are actually forgiven. The question I have to ask is, do you really believe that? Or one of the greatest things for us to believe at all is this, that God actually loves us. Do we believe that? Because when we're loved, it is actually quite, well, fun. That relationship, that experience, is one that is life-giving. So anyone who's taken the leap knows, despite, you know, the fears that are attendant to it before or even afterwards, that there's a trust that is very real. Anyone else who made the leap, why would you do it? Fun was one of them. More fun? Okay, another fun. Anyone else? Maybe Tony, why did you do it? Test. What were you testing? Well, I guess if we dropped you, you wouldn't know anyways. My last point. Officially, you said test, because there's two things that you're testing. One of them is that you're testing the people who said that they will catch you, or in this case, they're just forced to catch you, in this case. But in this case, sometimes we look at it as testing God. But the reality is that the test is actually not of God. The test is never actually of the people who will catch you. The test is the person who jumps. The real test is whether or not you're willing to climb up on here and entrust yourself to seven people that, you know, you may or may not know that well. Can you trust them? And in the case of God, it is for us seemingly a test of God, but He has always been found to be trustworthy. But the question is, what do we trust Him with? A lot of times we also have disappointment with God. Why are we disappointed with God? Why don't we trust Him? Because He doesn't give us what we want. He doesn't give us what we expect. He gives us what we truly need. And so when bad things happen to us, or to people we love, we assume that God is not trustworthy. But that actually applies a deeper test, not of God, but of ourselves. It challenges our own self-oriented understanding. And so when a person leaps off this table, per se, they're casting themselves really to the wind. They are releasing. And that's what prayer, in a way, actually is. That's what the Christian life actually is. It is a letting go of all the things you want. And it's the very heart of the disciple life. If you wish to be a follower of Jesus says you must take up your cross daily. And what does that mean? Well, the cross is a symbol of death. He's saying, let go of your plans, your dreams for your life, and trust that my dreams and my plans are greater, bigger, and you can trust me. So thank you for that, Tony. The testing is actually one. I don't know if Keith ran. Oh, Keith has just gone out the door. I should ask him, but hey, Keith, why did you do this? Nobody else is willing to. What a fantastic answer. You know the song we just sang? I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Faith is often tainted by what we think that other people will think about us. And it becomes something less than faith. This is why, you know, I struggle with church culture. We do our worship the same way all the time. And it's not because it's regular. I like regularity. I like, you know, a sense of stability. But what happens when we are just going along with the crowd like lemmings? And we go to church because our parents have always gone to church. We go to church because our society has always gone to church. If that is the only reason that we go to church, I don't think we get it. If we sing because we're thinking about how the other person thinks, or don't sing because we think about the people around us and how they view us. I mean, this is a legitimate reality that we live in. We are concerned about how we're seen by others. But in the life of faith, and all the people that, if you continue to read Hebrews chapter 11, they did what they did not because of what other people did, but because they heard someone's voice. We're told Abel made the sacrifice he made because he wanted to honor God and revealed what was really in his heart. We're told that Enoch in the Old Testament was raised into heaven, was taken by God because he walked with God. And the list will go on to Abraham, who left his family and his friends, his place where he felt secure, to follow the voice of God. Those with faith, and those with growing faith, which is something we want to have, are people who aren't concerned about what everyone else is doing or not doing. They do it, and it makes them different. One of the reasons that mass churches can have a particular problem, even small churches like ours, is that we create a culture that is only based on what other people think. And I want you to know that our church community, we want to be followers of Christ, not merely because of what other people think, or even the people here. But truly, the one thing that joins us, that we want to follow the one voice, the one person who is also three, the triune God, the voice of the Spirit. And that is what binds us together. And yes, there's social norms, we enjoy each other's company, we get to know each other. That's part of just being the community. But at the very heart of things, what binds us together is this tenacity and this relationship to Christ Himself. We are not here just for each other, although that is part of what God calls us to. We are together because He has called us all to be a people together. And we answer that call. So here's another question. I've asked those who came up here. It was fun. It was a test. It's because, you know, nobody else was. And I'm not sure if there's a real answer to this, or I need you to answer this, but the question is this. Why did you not come up? Why did you not You have to say, This one is a good reason. And this is one particular act. So I don't need you to jump off a table. But the question is, in the rest of your life, have you trusted God? With your family, with your children, with your career, with your innermost thoughts, with your sins, those aspects of your life. So the question we ask ourselves, and the Spirit asks us, is why do we not trust? In what areas in our lives have we kept for ourselves and not given to God? And this is, there's no accusation here, because there are areas in each of our lives, including mine. The great saints, throughout their whole lives, have always known that there are things that they have held back. In fact, your entire life in this world, the spiritual lesson that we all move in maturity, is learning to truly accept and believe that God loves us. We'll be doing that to the grave. And the deeper we come into grips with that, the fuller our spiritual life becomes. So this is one of the exercises, and then we have another one coming up. Oh, that was the exercise one. Will He save you? That's the question. If you were really fundamentally asked this question of any aspect of your life, if God will save you, this is the question we apply. Will He save you from your sins? Will He save you from yourself? So the other verse that we're looking at is the sixth verse. We only read verses 1 through 6 in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says this in verse 6. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Now we're going to have one more exercise here. And the question we're going to ask is this. What is it? Will He guide you? So, I went to the dollar store yesterday. And bought myself a whole bunch of these. What I'm going to ask you to do is to pair up with someone in this room. And then between the two of you, you'll take one of these. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to leave the chairs where they are. And we're going to do this. So pair up with someone right now in this room. Hey, we don't know if this projector has decided to go away for a while. But we still have... Thank you for... Well, just get this kind of back in place. Thank you for indulging me in this, but the two exercises are actually meant to illustrate certain aspects of faith. The question we're asking in the second part is whether or not we trust God will guide us. Whether or not He will actually guide us. And I'm just curious as to some of your experience. How did you find it as a person who was blindfolded? Maybe first people who got a chance to be blindfolded. What were your, some of your thoughts? What were the most difficult? Gregory.
Evan.
Yes, your partner can make it very difficult. I know he started with a 3 turns, right? Not the most helpful. Yes, Phil. Okay, so did anyone else have problems sometimes recognizing the voice or hearing it? Yeah, because there's a lot of noise. There's at least 3 other people who are showing instructions, and if you take their instructions, that will get you kind of messed up.
But the hearing is not well.
And your hearing is not good, yeah. I know you have a hearing aid, so... You're trying your hearing aid. Okay. That's right, the background noise. Anything else? Anything else? What made it difficult? Yes, generally. Bumping into other people. Yeah, like it happens. So one of the interesting things what people have talked about is it's actually the ability to hear. The question is, how well do you hear the voice of God? Because it's essential to faith. How do you know it's God's voice and not just your own voice? How do you know it's actually God's voice and not the voice of your family, of your father, or your mother, or your society? How do you know it's not just your pastor's voice? How do you know that this is truly the voice of Jesus that calls you? Especially when there's so many voices in our society today. A lot of them I've named. Which is the voice of Christ? Have you learned to understand what he sounds like? Now, I'm not talking about this merely as an audible thing, but also as a figurative thing. Do you hear him when he says, "You can trust me"? Do you hear him when he says, "I love you"? Do you hear him and accept it when he says, "I forgive you"? Or, "I'm proud of you"? "You're doing well. I will lend you strength. Go in this direction." Or, "Choose whatever direction you want. I'm going to be there." Suddenly we become pagans and go, okay, we're going to, God has given us three doors, number one, two, or three. God, one, two, or three. And God's going, "I don't care about one, two, or three, because both, all three doors lead to places where I'm going to be at." And we sometimes want something super concrete. And yet, at the same time, sometimes God will give us something concrete. And can you tell the difference which is when? That you need to make that particular decision in your life. Whether it's about a relationship, but asking forgiveness. About a relationship of new perspective. A reconciliation. A new perspective of letting someone go. And that's not your responsibility. But that is not a burden that you were created to bear. And yet, someone puts it on you. Do you hear his voice and see that? So the voice of God is something we need to begin to pray for. That we learn to hear. And we have to cultivate that. It's something that takes time. How about for those who were giving instructions? What was the most difficult part? I think everyone had, some of us all had that chance. What was difficult with giving instructions? It was really easy. Anyone? What are the complexities of trying to give some instructions to the maze?
Mixing left and right.
Mixing left and right. Yes, because their left is their right, and their your right, yes. Whether you see it from their perspective or not. Right. Perspective is a very interesting dimension to this teaching as well. Because sometimes God, we know, has perfect perspective. He can see everything. But we don't. And sometimes we may misunderstand, or in the case of human error, this is why hearing the voice of another person can be limiting. We trust our parents. Well, most of us, hopefully, can. When we trust our pastors, when we trust our spouse, we trust these people, but we have to recognize sometimes their perspective, you know, their left might be your right. They don't see as God sees. And so when it comes to listening to voices as well, that can get mixed up. It's not saying you shouldn't trust these folk, right? The government, you know, things like this. But understand that their perspective may be on a different level. We as humans guiding each other has its deep limitations. But God's guidance is quite a bit different. And how we experience that, do we understand that? Any other difficulties in guiding someone?
I don't know.
have trouble having their voice heard? You could tell the other person couldn't quite hear you? Or everyone could identify the voice? Yeah, pretty good. There's a passage in the scripture that's very interesting. It says, well, Jesus himself says, the sheep can recognize the voice of the shepherd. The sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd. And there's something about the Christian life, perhaps even mystical in the sense that the Holy Spirit, when He resides in us, He enables us to hear and know and sense. And despite the fact that sometimes it requires a cultivation, sometimes we may want to go our own way, that's something He's able to do. Anyways, there's a lot of stuff that can be, that come out of these exercises. I hope it was fun for you rather than a chore, than a burden. But we thought we'd make, move things around a little bit this morning since we have a family service throughout the summer. So the question I want to ask now is, what are some real acts of faith? Well, an act of compassion towards someone can be an act of faith. An act of vulnerability or trust. Saying hello to a stranger is an act of faith. Helping someone on the street is an act of faith. Offering to pray for someone when you hear their issues, even if they're not a believer, is an act of faith. It is an act of witness, which is an act of faith. Doing something, and this is an interesting one, doing something you feel prompted by the Holy Spirit to do that doesn't make sense right away. I don't know if you ever get that sense. Some people get this, and one way in which this sometimes emerges is that someone will be driving in their car or doing their daily thing, and suddenly they get this sense of someone's name. Most of the times it's someone you know, but you suddenly get the sense, I have to pray for this person. And you kind of go, okay, I'm doing the dishes or I'm driving on the highway. It doesn't interfere with it. When you, if you drive and pray, by the way, it's okay to open your eyes. Please, dude. When your eyes open, yes, paying attention to the traffic, you get the prompting. Sometimes it's not a prompting merely to pray. Sometimes it's a prompting to act. That you have to drive somewhere. That you have to go somewhere and you don't know why. And oftentimes what we sometimes do, because we're logical creatures, we go, there's no reason for me to go there. There's no reason for me to call that person. They just appear in my mind. What faith does is this, is that it tries anyways. It does it anyways. One of the most interesting aspects of this I've ever heard was a pastor suddenly felt that he had to get in his car and drive. And they drove 3 hours to an intersection in the middle of nowhere outside a big city. And then he felt he had to pray. So he prayed for a piece of land where nowhere, no one else was, and this is nowhere. And then he drove home. Mission accomplished, right? The sense that he had to be there to pray went away. The next week or so, the district superintendent of his denomination tells him something he did not know before. And that was on that very same intersection, at that piece of land outside this city, that they had purchased this land. A church had purchased this land and was going to build on it. And like, and then he said, you know what? I was told that I felt I had to go there and pray. I don't know what God may ask you to do. For some of you, it may be a more mystical or supernatural aspect. It could be prophecy. It could be dreams. And there are messages that you need to deliver. It is by faith you deliver those messages because God asks you to. It is by faith that you do certain acts. It is by faith that we confess our sins and find conviction. So there is that aspect of faith as well. the things that we don't know about, as well as those that we do know about. I love quoting Mark Twain in this particular quote. I've done it several times, and he was not a hardcore believer, evangelical type of thing. But Mark Twain said this: "It's not the things that I don't understand in the Bible that give me trouble. It's things I do." So even the faith to live out what you know the Scripture tells you is an act of faith. To live in obedience to God, although it might not be according to your own plans. Praying in public, singing out loud with your whole heart, living as a believer, even tithing, being an act of faith. So what I'm going to ask you to do today as we close off our service is to do the fundamental act of faith. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For anyone who comes to God must first believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. What act embraces the reality of God and His existence? And what act seeks after Him? The one act that we were created for and are capable of doing is the act of prayer. Prayer is not merely talking to God or just babbling. It is the believing. It is the seeking. And in it is the yearning. Even the trusting of God. And to provide you a little bit of guidance, I'm going to instruct you in two forms. I mean, if you want a third form of your own, that's fine too. As I'm, not that big on rules. Is I want to invite you in this following time to pray these words. The first possibility is simply, "I trust you, Lord." Or, "Lord, I trust you." You can put the Lord anywhere you want. You're addressing it to God, the Triune. "Lord, I trust you." The second one, form that you might want to use is, "I trust you with," and you fill in the blank for yourself. "Lord, I trust you with my future, my schooling, my finances, my family, my..." If you want to fill in, if there's something specific, in other words, you want to pray for, place that in there. And if there's a third one that expresses faith for you effectively, I'm going to invite you to that as well. Okay? So this is how we're going to do this. I'm just going to play some music because we don't have a guitar here today. And in your time, when you're ready, I want you to say out loud enough for everyone to hear, loud enough for God to hear and all the forces of darkness themselves to hear, I want you to say this prayer that in one of these forms. "I trust you, Lord. Lord, I will trust you with..." Or perhaps a prayer that is unique to yourself. It's very simple. And that's the beautiful thing about faith in Christ and our faith in God. God does not ask us for a lot of complexity. He wants to hear what's inside us. And He wants to draw us to Himself. So in the next few moments, we're going to have a time of quiet. And then if you want to be one of these people, just I'm going to invite you to stand and speak these words. There is no pressure. Please don't stand up if you don't feel like it. Please don't pray this prayer if you're not ready for it. Bring it home if you need to. But say if you... Actually, I'm not going to have you stand. Just say it where you are, seated. Because I want to reduce that kind of social pressure. But say it out loud. so people can hear it and that you know you said it. So before that, I'm going to say a brief prayer, and then we will go into our time of actual act of faith in prayer.